This is Martha with Animal World's Tip of the Month for June. It may seem a little premature to be thinking about the 4th of July now, but it's not at all if you have a dog that is terrified by loud noises like fireworks, especially if you'd like to change that this year. It usually takes some preparation time, but it can be done and is pretty simple. So if you have a dog that is afraid of loud noises like thunder or fireworks, or if you have a young dog that will be experiencing the 4th of July for the first time this year, here's what you need to know to change the way your dog friend feels about fireworks, or to make sure your young dog never becomes afraid. First, let's be sure you know what not to do. None of us like it when our dog acts fearfully, and most of us, even though we have the best of intentions, do exactly the wrong things when our dogs show fear. For example, let's say you're with your dog at home when thunder bangs loudly outside. The dog startles and then begins to cower in fear. Our response is usually to try to calm and sympathize. Oh, poor baby, it's okay. Calm down. It's only thunder. Mommy doesn't like it either. Kiss, kiss, kiss. While we're petting and stroking the dog. Unfortunately, if you do this, you are acknowledging the fear and communicating to the dog that they are behaving appropriately and rewarding the fearful behavior. So their fear will actually become stronger and more deeply seated psychologically. In order to do the right thing under these circumstances, it's important to remember that dogs are pack animals. You, as their human, are supposed to be the leader of the pack. Dogs do follow the leader and tend to be monkey-see-monkey-doers. They are also, for the most part, simple-minded. So if you have a good sales pitch, you can convince them of almost anything. You, as the leader of the pack, must set the appropriate example. You do this by doing what I call jollies or by triggering a formal jolly routine. Either way, success requires you drumming up the actor or actress inside of you. But before we get to that, the first step is understanding and then teaching a jolly routine to your dog. A jolly routine is a word or a phrase that, when you say it, automatically makes your dog think of something wonderful and happy. You can have more than one jolly routine. In fact, I recommend that if there are things you do with your dog on a regular basis that he or she really enjoys, then take advantage of those things by reinforcing the trigger phrases. Let's say your dog likes to go for a walk, or a ride, or play ball. Then every time before you do those things, be consistent with the words you say that precede the activity. For example, you know you're going to take the dog for a walk. Before you start the physical part of the ritual, like getting the leash and your coat, begin the trigger phrase, "Let's go for a walk, let's go for a walk, oh boy, let's go for a walk," and repeat it several times before you go into action. That way your dog will react to the words or trigger phrase, not the physical act of actually going for the walk. Just in case you need a jolly trigger out while you're on a walk or playing a game, if your dog likes to eat, I recommend you teach one jolly routine related to a specific special food reward. A food reward, in order to be effective, only has to be large enough to taste. So pick a food that your dog really likes and that he won't get any other time. Make sure it's a food that can be broken up into small pieces like chicken or cheese. You can practice as many jolly routines as you want throughout the day, but there needs to be at least 2 hours between practice jollies. Start your jolly routine when your dog is not expecting it. Say he's asleep on the floor. Before you go into any physical action, remember you want your dog to react to the vocabulary, not the food. Begin saying the trigger phrase. By the way, the food is either already in your pocket and the dog doesn't know you have it, or it's still in the kitchen somewhere. Begin saying, "Oh boy, cheese, oh boy, cheese, let's get cheese, oh boy, cheese." Repeat the phrase 5 or 6 times. Then get up and get goofy, exciting your dog as you continue to repeat the phrase. Do this for 2 to 3 minutes, then stop and give the dog the piece of food. If your dog is one of those rare ones that doesn't like food so much, you can do the same thing with their favorite toy or game. Practice the jolly routine until all you have to do is say the trigger phrase and the dog gets excited. Have all members of the family practice jollies. Do it all together as well as doing it separately. Once your dog is programmed, you're ready to use the jolly routine whenever your dog encounters a sound or situation that triggers fear. You hear fireworks? Immediately go into the jolly routine. Now, here's where being a good actor or actress comes in. Put on a good show as you are the leader and making the positive association with the noise. It won't take long before your dog will hear the fireworks and begin the jolly routine himself before you have a chance to. Start your preparation now and you should be good to go by the 4th of July, and even if you haven't done any prep, you can still use the basic concept whenever stuff happens. If you have always sedated your dog over the 4th, I suggest you get the tranquilizers, but prepare for and use jollies. You may find you will be returning using the sedatives after the fourth because you didn't need to use them. If you are raising a young dog and this will be their first fourth, your job is to pay attention and be prepared to do jollies on general principles whenever fireworks happen so your dog develops a positive feeling about them. Don't wait to see how the pup reacts. Do the jolly routine as a matter of course. In most cases, I think it's best to exclude your dog from 4th of July celebrations with fireworks as accidents can happen. Leave your dog at home, inside, with some soft music playing in the background. If you must take your dog to a party, make sure a responsible adult is supervising the dog and always keep the dog on leash around fireworks. Okay, there you have it. All you need to know to change the way your dog feels about fireworks. But if you still have questions, call me. And please stay tuned because Animal World will be right back.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he start throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and I welcome you to the third hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again. That will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And I want to remind you that we are leaving early today for a women's Sounders soccer game, correct?
You are correct.
So we will be done at 11:45. So if you've got behavior training healing questions or comments for me, get your emails in, animalworldlive@hotmail.com, or call us 425-373-5527 or toll free 1-888-298-5569. Before I forget, I want to congratulate Tamar for being our Missing Link winner of the week. Congratulations, Tamar. And I think I forgot to mention to you guys that there's another way to get more free Missing Link. And that is, they are very much interested in your testimonials. So if you have one Missing Link from us here, or if you have been feeding Missing Link, if you are willing to take a little photograph of your animal friend and tell your story, how did Missing Link help your animal friend, you email that to me, MarthaNorwalk.com, click on Contact Martha, or Martha Light, L-I-G-H-T at AOL.com. Send it to me. I will send it to them, and they will send you free Missing Link because they would love to have your testimonial. So just remember that, because there is another legal way to get free stuff. Oh, boy, we like that. Okay. Keeping with Behavior Training and Healing Sunday, we're going to the phones, and thank you for waiting in Everett. Patty, welcome to Animal World. You're live on the air.
Hi.
Hey, Patty.
Well, I have an issue. I have a Great Dane who is a rescue.
Okay, that's a timeout, timeout. Great, okay. A Great Dane rescue. What is their name?
Her name is Emma.
Emma, okay, so that means she's a female.
Right.
She's spayed, I assume.
Oh, yes.
And do we have any idea how old she is?
She's about 6 1/2.
6 1/2. And what color is she?
She's a Harlequin.
Harlequin. That's what I thought. Okay. What is going on with Miss Emma?
Oh, Miss Emma is dog aggressive on her walks, but only towards certain dogs.
Okay.
And she seems to be okay with smaller dogs, but particularly aggressive when she sees a German Shepherd.
Okay.
And I got her when she was 2.5, and she does have a couple little nicks on her forehead where it looks like she may have been bitten.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if there's a past issue where it was a German Shepherd that bit her or what. And
okay.
My concern is when I'm walking her, if we see another dog, I'll cross the street and I'll make her sit and stay until they've passed.
Mm-hmm.
But I recently moved to a new area and there's a lot of dogs running around loose. And my concern is that if one of these other dogs comes running up to her, I don't know how to handle that.
Okay. Now, let's first, let's do some general things. Not unusual behavior to have with a dog. And what you've told me already tells me a few things. The fact that she is not just generally on all bases dog aggressive.
Right.
Some dogs she is, some dogs she isn't. That she tends to be okay with little dogs.
Right.
Now, that's telling you that her left brain is working somewhat and that she is not just necessarily a big old scaredy cat. And she's smart enough to know that little dogs aren't really a threat if you're in a Great Dane suit. Okay. Now, we often think when dogs are aggressive towards other dogs, we think that maybe it's aggressively based or, you know, and they're alpha, dominant, need to control. But you need to know a confident dog doesn't display like that. A confident dog is generally the calm one that isn't overtly aggressive. And see, I would call this defensively aggressive. It's when we see the other dog's approaching, we start to get aggressive. That's a defensive aggressive. And that indicates fear.
Okay.
Now, the fact that you said it's especially directed at German Shepherds, well, dogs tend to generalize, assume, and flash back.
Okay.
And so if this breed of dog beat me up sometime, well, then a dog is going to say, okay, that kind of dog beat me up before. I ain't giving this another one a chance to beat me up, because they're going to assume it looks like the other one that beat me up, it's going to beat me up too.
Right.
So when you say there's scars on the head and stuff, very likely you are correct. And it is a Great Dane or a German Shepherd that beat up on this dog before.
Okay.
So all of those assumptions are correct. Now, and just to show you the generalized assume and flashback, because I'm flashing on another story, so it's story time here. I went to an aggression seminar put on by a trainer for other trainers. And after the talk, a trainer in the audience got up and said, I have this real particular unusual problem going on in my class. And this person was a 4-H trainer, so it was a class of kids with dogs. And she said, I got this one kid that has a border collie. Border Collie's good, smart dog, you know, learning everything. And I got about 20 dogs in the class, and 6 of them are Golden Retrievers. And the Border Collie's okay with all the other dogs in the class. But if one of those Golden Retrievers even looks at the Border Collie, the Border Collie gets really defensively aggressive and wants to kill him. Okay? And the trainer said, and what's really unusual is this dog was raised by a Golden Retriever. His big brother is a Golden Retriever, and he loves his big brother.
Huh.
I don't get it. Well, and nobody in the room got it. And, of course, it wasn't my seminar, so I had to keep my mouth shut in the back seat. But I knew exactly what's going on. What happened is, see, Border Collies, you're really smart, okay? And the big brother Golden Retriever raised this Border Collie. Well, what do big brother dogs do with little brother dogs? They beat the crapola out of you. You know, roughhousing, play fighting, you get beat up and all of that. But because it's your big brother and you love him and you know all that, you put up with it. But see, the Border Collie then said, the Border Collie wasn't an unstable dog, okay? So all the other dogs it had no experience with, it was okay with them. There was nothing to generalize and flash back on. But any of those Golden Retrievers looked at him, and the Border Collie said, by golly, Golden Retrievers beat the crapola out of you. And I might take it from my big brother, but I'm not letting any of those other Golden Retrievers even get close to me.
Okay?
Right.
So that sounds, it feels like that's what you're kind of dealing with Miss Emma.
Okay.
All right. So now my next question is, how much control do you have over her? I know you said, you know, you see another dog coming, you cross the street and then make her sit and stay while they pass by.
Right.
But do you have, is she lunging? Is she carrying on? Do you have trouble controlling her when there's another dog around? Can you stop the defensive aggression response, and will she sit and stay under command for you?
Oh, yes, she will. She will do that.
Okay.
And I'll kind of like put my body in front of her vision so she can't really see, or I'll turn her around and just start walking the other way.
Okay. Well, the first step for any of you who have dog aggressive dogs, the first step is that there's usually training involved, in my opinion, and that is you must get the dog under control so that you have control over that aggressive behavior. You tell them to knock it off or put them on a sit command or say that they do. Okay. And then because that's step number one, we got to control the bad behavior. Now, then step two is, remember, these dogs are not stupid. And in this case, with Miss Emma, probably has a flashback related to German Shepherds or dogs that are similar in energy or whatever. And so step two is changing the way she feels about those other dogs. Okay. Now, you also got to remember, monkey see, monkey do. You are the leader, and how you handle these situations can make a difference. And part of what you're doing, I'm not real wild about, although I understand why you're doing it. And that is what we tend to do. Got a dog, aggressive dog. Another dog is approaching us. Remember, they're defensively aggressive out of fear. They're afraid of what that other dog might do to them.
Okay.
So how do you think they, what do you think they make of it when mom or dad, who's supposed to be their alpha and the leader, says, "Oh, gosh, here comes another dog. Let's get the heck out of Dodge." And we cross the street or go the other direction or move away. Okay, that can tend to make them say, "See, even mom is afraid." Okay, so we got to be real careful when you do that. Now, I said that I understand what you're doing. You're dealing with a Great Dane. That's a big dog.
Yeah.
And but I actually would like you to play down the fact that you're moving out of the way or moving far away, and I would like you to move less and less out of the way as you're working with this. And I don't want you to move out of the way while you're thinking and feeling fearful or bad thoughts about the other dog. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, because they get the pictures in your mind, feel what you're feeling, and also the behavior teaches them, and you're the alpha and want to set the appropriate example. And the fact that she's already under control on the leash is really, really good. So let's go to step two. Is we want to start changing the way she feels about the other dogs. Now, did you listen to the 4th of July tip?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and you heard about doing a jolly routine.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Jolly routines can be used as emergency push buttons, like I said, to get the dog out of a situation that's scary, like the jolly routine when the kid, did I even finish that with my friend when the kid fell in the toilet
no.
this morning?
I didn't hear that.
Okay. Well, this was my friend, had the kid. Yeah, it was early in the first hour, and I was babysitting his granddaughter, and she wanted to do her own potty thing, and she fell in the toilet. And so he said, he immediately, see, he panicked, what was he going to do? And he said, he heard Martha say, do a jolly routine. So he went in the toilet, you know, the bathroom, and said, "Oh, boy, he fell in the toilet. Isn't that fun? Oh, boy, fell in the toilet. Oh, boy." And then she started laughing and giggling. He hauled her out of the toilet, dried her up, finished her, and then left her to finish. And when she came out of the bathroom, she just walked up to him and said, "Grandpa, that was so much fun. You really made me feel good." And so he got her through where she could have been scared of toilets for the rest of her life and really traumatized. She had a really good time.
Okay.
So jolly routines can be used to change the way dogs feel about anything, not just loud noises or fireworks or that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so you can actually start programming a word. Just like I said, you know, that you get the food, like maybe it's cheese, you use "oh boy" cheese, and then do the "oh boy" cheese and that kind of stuff. Well, then, see, then you can start, instead of when you're walking, You have that special food reward in your little doggy pouch on your belt. You can get those at pet stores, you know, so you can carry a little, you know, and food mm-hmm. rewards to be effective, only to be large enough to taste. Your attitude is when you see another dog coming, instead of doing that, it's another dog. Okay. You stay calm, stay happy, and it's, oh, boy, cheese, here comes another dog. Oh, boy, cheese, his dog friend. Oh, boy, cheese. Now, you can also teach a friend's exercise. And a friend's exercise is teaching the dog when you say friends, to lick the back of your hand or your cheek. And the way you teach this is, and the reason you teach this is because the friendliest way a dog has of greeting you is by licking your hand or face. And that means just want to be friends, no contest. So whenever you cook something, you have some juice, some fat, or some grease left over, you can use a little bit of butter. Don't let them see you do this. Rub it on the back of your hand. Call the dog over. Put your hand out and say, friends, make friends. And as they lick your hand, say, good friends, good, good friends. If you've got a leadership problem or whatever, and if you're comfortable with it, you can put some on your cheek. Let them lick your cheek, because that's really a submissive behavior you're rewarding in that dog. Good friends, good, good friends. And ideally, you'd want to practice that exercise whenever you have a chance, until you can put your hand out and there's nothing on it, and you say, friends, and they do a little lick. Now, the idea is when you use the word, they're not going to run up to the dog or the person and lick them. But then when you say friends, it gives them the idea and the feeling of accepting that other person or creature. And it gives you a word to alert them as to what their response is supposed to be.
Okay.
So when you see another dog, you say, friends. Oh, boy, cheese. It's a friend. Oh, boy, cheese. Now, and if you... And I don't know how many It's Me or the Dog episodes you can watch, past episodes on Animal Planet, but there are some on there that you can watch. Victoria Stilwell, who does It's Me or the Dog, is my absolute favorite behavior modification specialist. She is the best I've ever seen that's out in public. She's really, really good. And she's done a number of cases in the past relating to dogs that were aggressive with other dogs and doing this kind of thing on the street, where she doesn't use vocabulary. She doesn't use a jolly routine or the friends, but she does the change the way they feel about it. Sitting there, here comes the dog, you get cheese. You know, dog goes away, no more cheese. Here comes the dog, you get cheese. So you're going to use a combination of that. That, like, say, for example, if dogs bark at dogs coming across, you know, outside the window in front of your house going by. Well, the first step would be control the barking. Second step, change the way they feel. So you'd set yourself up in front of the living room window, and when a dog starts to come by, you'd either stop the barking, or before the dog barks, you'd say, oh boy, it's a friend, you get cheese. Shove in that cheese, little bits at a time, dog's gone, no more cheese. Here comes the next one. Oh boy, it's a friend, you get cheese. Oh boy, cheese, dog's gone, no more cheese. Doesn't take very many repetitions before the dog says, oh geez, I always thought they were invading our territory, they were bad, mom says they're friends, I get cheese. Hey, dogs walk in front of my house more often.
Okay. And she's very food motivated.
Oh, see, excellent, excellent. So, see, you've got it all you need, because she's already under control on the leash, and you're gonna. But I want you, as soon as you see the other dog, it's oh boy, friends. And if she's quiet and calm, give her some cheese. Now, then move enough out of the way so you can put her under command. But your attitude is, oh boy, you're glad to see the dogs. You think of them as a gift from God to help you teach her how to behave, instead of, oh gosh, it's my worst fear, I don't want any dogs. And the fact that you're in a new area now, seeing they're all going to be new dogs, that makes it much easier. See, remember I said earlier in the show, if you didn't hear it, the best time to change chronic behavior in dogs is when you change environments.
Okay.
It's the best and the easiest time. So you change your attitude. You're going to teach friends and jollies. You're going to take your food with you. When you see another dog, it's, oh boy, here comes a friend. You get move out of the way, sit and wait. But then as the dog's coming, oh boy, it's a friend. You get treats.
Okay.
Treats. Dog goes away, no more treats. On we go. Pretty soon your dog going to be a happy camper to see those dogs coming. Does that make sense?
I hope so. Yes, it makes total sense.
Okay, so that's your marching orders and your homework.
Okay.
Now, if depending on if you work at it this week, see what's going on. Mm-hmm. If there are glitches or you have questions, whatever. I mean, I can always work with you privately off the air.
Okay.
But you can also email me and we could do follow up with Robin next week.
Okay.
Or you can work at it this next month, knowing that the first Sunday of every month is Behavior Training and Healing Sunday. So your call would take priority the first Sunday of August.
Okay.
Do you want to call back in and then fill me in on how you're doing and what's working or isn't working or whatever, and we can tweak you some more if we need to.
That would be great, and I will definitely do that.
Oh, super,
and
super.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, and good luck. I know you've got this really, when you know what you're doing, see, mm-hmm. stuff should be easy and really flow.
Okay.
All right, good luck,
well,
Patty.
Thanks
for your call.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Wasn't that fun? Mm-hmm. Okay. So hopefully all you people with dog aggressive dogs are listening. And gosh, I'm not going to have a whole lot of time to do the animal TV stuff. I'm just going to hold on to this because I can do this on, you know, any behavior training or Healing Sunday or other days we don't have time. We can talk about these different cases. I just want to say one thing about one case, which was on dogs in the city. This last week, he dealt with a woman that and a family. It was either a woman, her boyfriend, and her daughter with Biggie the Puggle that was like 25 pounds overweight, huge dog. And he let some personal things out about himself, this Justin Silver, that he used to be a personal trainer, and he used to be overweight as a child. And so he understood all of that kind of stuff. And it came out that this woman, the owner of the dog, was raised in a family that food was love. Everybody was overweight. She weighed 350 pounds at one time, had, you know, stomach surgery, and now was thin. But she had never dealt with the emotional issues. Food was love. Of course, she's doing the same thing to her dog and to her daughter. Well, it was, I think, the most excellent cure I've seen him do. Because where the overweight was part of it was, and understanding the motivation behind it, instead of her overfeeding the dog as love, he switched her to home cooking and spoiling the dog by the quality of food that she made for the dog, mm-hmm. and then got the portions right, and then got everybody exercising, you know, the 5K walk run with the family and the dogs, and he turned the whole situation around, and it was really an excellent solution, and it's the best one I've seen him do so far. And like I said, if you're one that likes to spoil your animals with food and they're overweight, you can cover the base by spoiling them with the quality of food, not the quantity. So anyway, I just thought that was phenomenal. Okay, we are going to take care of our advertisers and sponsors for the last time on this show, and then we'll come back, and what little time we have, I'll get into some Pluckner stuff and my kitties and kind of continue that. It's going to be an ongoing thing, obviously, here. So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Now visit Jones & Company. You'll find them on State Avenue in Marysville. You can give them a call at 360-658-7817. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Manson Mitchell bring Mac Fulfer's amazing face reading skills back to our show on Friday for another fascinating hour.
On Saturday, Reverend Ray of Sunshine is in the house with financial expert Sig Hess to talk about the financial hows and whys of your ways and means.
Then Don Schmidt brings us the latest information from the 65th anniversary conference of the alleged UFO crash in Roswell, New Mexico.
That's Manson Mitchell Friday morning at 10 and Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific on Alternative Talk 1150 KKNW.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage's exciting new Vashon Island location. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including T-Touch, flower essences, aromatherapy, and manual ligament therapy, plus massage for canines and small and large animal certification. Visit online at nwsam.com for registration details and to enroll online. For more information, call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 206-463-1425. That's 206-463-1425. Or check them out on Facebook.
This is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I'd like to talk to you about Robin Alexis. Although I liked Robin right away, I was skeptical at first. But let me tell you, that was unwarranted, and now I believe that Robin is the real deal. Often referred to as the metaphysical mother, Robin's a spiritual empowerment coach with incredible gifts. Robin's a medium, ghost and baby whisperer, medical intuitive, past life reader, animal communicator, and channel. In addition to being a radio and TV personality and author, she's also a Reiki master teacher. Simply put, Robin is amazing. I know because she's been helping me incredibly on many levels. Robin is nurturing, powerful, and did I say phenomenally gifted? Robin can help you too. Her books and personal one-on-one phone readings can change your life forever. Let Robin help you heal and release those blockages so you can experience life more fully. To schedule a reading, go to robinalexis.com, and while you're there, download a free copy of the first two chapters of her new book. That's robinalexis.com, or give her a call at 360-457-2993. That's 360-457-2993.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Notice anything different? You should. There's no other station like Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all, Martha Norwalk, and sorry to say that we're in the final minutes of this week's edition of Animal World. We're leaving you early for women's soccer today, Sounders soccer. And so we got to wrap up. And Behavior Training and Healing Sunday, I promised you more on Pleckner Syndrome and my Abbey Cats. This is obviously going to be an ongoing thing we do on Behavior Training and Healing Sunday, and I may need to do a better planning more time to talk about this. I actually thought we were going to get a call about it today, and that they didn't call as they had planned. So I'll also tell you next week for Robin and Martha Sunday that someone else that was going to call today had emailed me with a question about animals and reincarnation, a very fascinating subject and specific questions that I know you all be interested in. So I'm just taking it from spirit that we're going to pass those over to next week. But in terms of the Pleckner Syndrome, now first Sunday of June, at the last hour of the show, I did cover the basis of what is Pleckner Syndrome and what it's all about. And if you didn't hear that, you're going to have to go back to the archives and listen to the third hour of the first Sunday in June to get those details. But the bottom line is that it is an endocrine immune imbalance. that underlies most chronic disease and illness in dogs, cats, horses, and humans. And Abyssinians have a genetic predisposition. In other words, it's very common with this breed of cat. And my Abyssinians that I had previously, my Buzzy was my first one. He had physical illnesses. He had a lot of chronic urinary tract issues. Now, a lot of that was him processing my stuff, but in order for it to manifest in that way, and he had a herpes viral infection in one of his eyes as a kitten. That's the reason I was able to rescue him from the breeder, because it destroyed his eye and he lost sight in that eye. And that would all be indications that he did, in fact, have Pleckner syndrome. My other Abbeys, my Scooty, I found a breeder who had really relatively healthy Abyssinians. A lot of Abyssinians have gingivitis, gum disease, dental diseases, and inflammatory bowel issues. That's just very common with the breed. Well, those are classic signs of Pleckner syndrome. I had found a breeder that had pretty healthy cats. So Scooty, a cat that she bred, he was born without Pleckner syndrome, although he developed, remember I told you, either born with it genetically, it's acquired because of toxicity, chemical poisoning, something like that, or it becomes a state of old age. He acquired it when he went into the syndrome at 12 years of age. And I caught it, of course, by testing, and then he was able to live happy, healthy, and great without the problems that he would have had for another 3-4 years after that. My G-Man and Jilpy, the blue Abyssinians, were an outcross from my breeder's breeding, and they were born with Pleckner syndrome. Now, Al didn't write his Pets at Risk book, didn't have him on the air until they were probably 7 or 8 years old. And at that time, they had chronic urinary tract stuff. They had horrible teeth and gums. Jilpy, one of the cats, had the stomatitis, the awful, painful gum and dental disease. But once we diagnosed them as Pleckner, they went on medication. All of those problems went away. Now, Jilpy passed away at 12 from a bladder tumor, and this was something we think was going on prior to diagnosing the Pleckner, so we were able to postpone it but not eradicate it. G-Man, as you know, is still with me, and he's on his way. He's just passed his 15th birthday. He's on his way to 16, even though he was chronically diseased for 8 years of his life before Pleckner. Now, when I adopted my kittens, remember Scooty and Jilpy, these two of my Abbeys that had passed, I said I was ready. They told me, you know, telepathically, empathetically, they were coming back. I said, find a breeder, find kittens. That's close. That's easy. They did. I knew when I went in there, they are now Ping and Pong. And they both just turned a year old. I knew when I went in there and checked the situation out that they were very likely Pleckner syndrome kittens. I chose to take them anyway because, you know, spiritually this was set up for me. And I don't believe in coincidence. And because of what I do, I figured there's a reason for us all to learn from this. Their father, Cat, was an elderly ruddy Abyssinian, and he had already passed away before I met the boys, so I didn't get to meet Dad. Moms were both alive, and moms both had classic signs of Pleckner syndrome, which is the horrible gingivitis and gum disease. So I really knew it going in. Same thing with Buzzy, same thing with Little Red Dragon G. So the four of them, I assumed. Now, I went in with positive thinking. Robin and I, of course, did lots of energetic work and all this sort of stuff because we don't know necessarily what the lessons were and all of that. But the bottom line was, the older these kittens have gotten, and there are Ping and Pong just turned a year. Buzzy is like at the seven to eight-month-old stage, and Red Dragon is like at the 4-month-old stage. Three of them have now been diagnosed. Ping, Pong, and Buzzy have all been blood tested, and they are all classic Pleckners. Buzzy being the worst in that he was not only Pleckner syndrome, but he's hypothyroid as well. The little one has not been tested yet just because he wasn't big enough to get enough blood out of him to test, although because of his gingivitis and the genetic history with the rest of them, he's already on protocol. He's already on medication. And the medication for the treatment protocol is a little bit different depending on whether you're dog, cat, horse, or human. For cats, it is just cortisol. Rarely do they need thyroid unless they have FIP. They just get cortisol. And the drug of choice by Dr. Al Pleckner is prednisolone. Prednisone has to go through the liver to be converted into prednisolone. So prednisolone goes straight into the bloodstream, does not have to be converted. They are all on oral prednisolone. Dr. Al recommends injections to start with, but Dr. Bill Burlingame at Quilceta Veterinary Hospital, who's been working now with the syndrome for 7 years at least, he and I are trying to find less expensive and easier ways to treat it, to make it more available to lots of people with their animals. And he's found that unless it's a life-threatening critical stage, we can avoid the injections and just go to oral. It just takes longer for them to balance. Now, I avoided testing or treating them as long as I could. And I have to say, I'm going to have to wrap up here because I'm forgetting that we have to leave early. So we will continue this. We'll continue some of this next week. How about that? And do what we're talking about with Robin. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, Aji. Stay tuned for Sounders Soccer and Robin and Martha Sunday next week. As always, let me remind you, animals have feelings too. So treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to open your heart, share your love with all living things. And I'll talk to you again next week.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.